Do you like beating the bishop? San Jose Sharks beat the bishop 4 times. Mikhail Bodker, he likes beating the bishop so much, he did it twice. Welcome to Teal Town After Dark. Landy?
Oh my. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The Sharks beat the Dallas Stars 5-2. Mikhail Bodker has been resurrected. Some goal scoring person, I guess, has decided to possess the Mikhail Bodker, who now has double digit goals, surpassing his goal total from last year. I believe that he stands at 11. I am, of course, joined by the lovely and talented Rocket Backhander. I'm also joined by Chris JWS.
Yo, yo.
And we've got a check-in from Puck Guy himself. Puck Guy, how are you doing? How was there at the tank?
Good evening, guys. It was a great atmosphere here tonight. It was listed as a sellout crowd, and they had plenty to pay for. I mean, shoot, they're even doing a conga line right now. I mean, seriously, there you go, folks. Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. All right. See, they're in a celebratory mood. It's so great. Look at the line for the Shark Store. It's that big. Look at it. It goes around the corner, folks. Wow. Everybody's in a great mood tonight as the Sharks beat the Stars 5-2. Not going to lie, I thought we were going to see Hockey Trick expose himself in the middle center ice if he got into the arena tonight, if Bodker scored one more. Much to the displeasure of H.A. Strong, who is now fretting the bet that he made with Jerk on the Pucknologist. But nonetheless, good crowd. I mean, it always helps to start off early, 27 seconds in. You know what? It was a great, great time. You know, giveaways aplenty. They had mystery pucks, which I'm sure A.J. will show you later on tonight. But they had some nice ones here tonight. I'll do this little waddling job there for you. AJ bought, I think, like half the collection. Nonetheless, it was a great time tonight. The shirts, oh yeah, I forgot the shirts that they gave out tonight too. They are pretty sweet looking ones as we celebrate the Lunar New Year. The designer who made the shirts also made a drawing that went on to auction tonight. And also got to drop the puck before the game, but this
cool
T-shirt is pretty sweet. But hey, Bodker, great game tonight. Pavelski, great game. Our new top line looked pretty solid tonight. Of Timo Meier, Melker Carlson, and Joe Pavelski looked really solid. Jones looked really great as well. Let in those two later in the game, ruined a shutout. Thanks a lot for my fantasy team. But I digress. It was all in all a great night, and send the guys off onto a nice road trip that's going to be a challenging one, but nonetheless, one they should be up for the task as they built some confidence at home.
Well, thanks for the check-in, Eric, and I just wanted to get this out there before we get into it. Be a part of the show. Catch us and give us questions on Twitter using the hashtag TealTownUSA, at TealTownUSA. You can catch us on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course the YouTube chat. We do monitor the chat, and you know, we do like to take your questions. We do this for you guys and gals out there. And yeah, I mean, we just got all three of us on this panel, and we're gonna ready to rock and roll. So Rocket, let's start with you first. What were your overall impressions of the game and just kind of the vibes that you got from the game tonight?
Okay, so my overall impression of the game was, so the Sharks had some notes. I mean, they definitely did themselves a favor by burning the tapes from the 31st, but I think that they did a good job of taking notes before destroying all of that stuff. And those notes came in real handy. I think that the Dallas Stars probably are one of the lightest hitting teams that the Sharks have seen as of late. You know, they got pounded the other day by, some people, and then pounded the other day by some other people. I'm sorry, I'm tracking two different hockey teams, and I just am like, was it the Red Wings or the Avalanche or the Rangers? Or was it I can't even remember who's playing who anymore, to be honest. But I know that the Sharks' last two teams were real heavy hitting, and that Dallas, since they like to be speedy, don't hit as hard. And I think that the Sharks took advantage of that, in that they're used to getting those big bodies and getting worn down a lot faster physically throughout the period. That since they weren't taking the physical abuse from Dallas that they were from the other teams, they found it. They had endurance. They had tolerance. And they used it to score the pants off of Ben Bishop.
Yeah, they literally did score the pants off Ben Bishop. Chris, what are your overall reactions to the game? What did you think was good? What did you think was bad? Lay it on us.
So tonight I actually get to flip the script for once. It doesn't feel like I get to do this very often. But for the amount of times I've said the Sharks played poor in that period, but they were not 4-0 poor or whatever. In this case, the Sharks played good in that first period. They weren't necessarily 4-0 good, but they were good, and they caught the breaks. Like, they don't catch the breaks a lot, but they got all the breaks, and they got up early. And for the most part, the second period I liked, because they kind of stepped on it a little harder. They made sure Dallas couldn't catch up too soon, and then Dallas kind of got a few teaser goals, but realistically, the game was never in danger. So I thought it was a really good 60-minute effort as a whole. Like, you know, Stars got their body blows in, but really by the time they did, it was, the score was already so far run away that they were going to have a hard time doing it, and the Sharks didn't let them back in.
Right. Yeah, very, very true. Quickly kind of breaking down the shots on goal in the first period, the Dallas Stars actually outshot the Sharks 11-6, although it didn't really feel that way. And I guess what happens when you score 30 seconds into the game, actually it's 27 seconds into the game.
And then 66% shooting percentage.
Yeah. So Joe Pavelski with his 15th goal on the year, Joe Pavelski really heating up in the second half. It's good to see. And of course, you know, he was suffering from some kind of hand/wrist kind of injury. You know, he just was not accepting pucks in the first half of the season very well. So it lead me to believe, and he didn't take very many faceoffs in the first half of the season. So it leads me to believe somewhere on the hands had some issues there, but his 15th of the year from Meyer and Vlasic. Meyer doing a lot of heavy lifting tonight and doing a lot of heavy lifting on that goal. Followed up by Melker Karlsson's 8th goal of the season at 5:59 in the first. Timo Meyer again in on the scoring with another assist, his 10th assist, and Pavelski with an assist, his 29th assist. Then, in 15:08, Mikael Bodker gets his 10th goal of the season. Hansen and Braun are assisting on those goals. Mikael Bodker, really the redheaded stepchild of the Sharks lineup, pretty much all of last year and the first half of this year, has eclipsed his goal total of last year. He now sits at 11 with his second goal, coming in just 2 minutes and 23 seconds after his first. It's Mikael Bodker's 11th goal from Tierney and Vlasic. So the Sharks chased Ben Bishop after that fourth goal. Now, that Mikael Bodker goal was on the dying seconds of a power play. It was like a tenth of a second off of a power play goal. So while, yes, the Sharks did go 0-2, that could have been a power play. So that second unit really, really helping out, doing some good work. In the second period, Justin Braun, we initially thought that was a Karlsson goal, but it actually was tipped off the Dallas player. So it was Justin Braun's second goal from Pavelski and Karlsson. Karlsson having just a really good night with a goal and assist. And we've got Pavelski getting his third point of the night, two assists and one goal. And the Sharks are cruising 5-0. In that second period, the Sharks outshot Dallas 5-14. And then heading into that third period, you saw that natural progression of the Sharks just kind of easing off the gas just a little bit. Let's the Stars kind of creep back in with Jamel Smith's 5th goal of the season with an assist by Richie and Johns. That was 5:35 into the third period. And then Tyler Pitlick with his 11th goal, Klingberg and Roussel assisting there. Overall, the Sharks, even up on the shot clock with Dallas 28-28 and got outshot in that third period by 12-8. But of course, hashtag score effects will kind of start to creep in there. Overall, in the stats department, shots on goal, like I said before, 28-28. Faceoffs, the Sharks win the faceoff dot tonight, 55%. Go 0-for-2 on the power play, but like we said before, Mikhail Bodker's goal should have been counted as a power play goal. It was really, really close. The hits, 26-12 in favor of the Stars. And the blocks, this block number was really, really insane for how the Sharks had a 5-0 lead. But they blocked 25 shots tonight in contrast to the Stars' 9 blocks. Sharks do a pretty good job in the giveaway stat tonight, only giving away 7 times, with the Stars giving away 6 times. I think the couple of things that we kind of got to know out of this game, though, is some injuries or at least some people leaving the game early. The first to leave was Brent Burns. He left in that first power play about 30 seconds after he took a shift. He went to the locker room. He did make it out for the second period, but again, went back in the third and was shut down. And Tierney got a high cross check in the third period and seemed to be wincing and kind of feeling it a little bit. And then Dylan DeMello, I think at the end of the game, with 30 seconds left at the end of the game, headed into the dressing room as well. So kind of worried a little bit. Burns, I'm not so worried about. I saw a couple people on Twitter saying that he looked kind of like throw-up vomity sick. I don't know exactly who put that out there, but looked a little, you know, like kind of nauseous and maybe was coming under the flu or something. So could have been that. I thought he looked kind of limping, but I don't know what you guys saw of Brent Burns.
I totally missed all of his exit from the game.
Chris?
I didn't see what even happened to him. Honestly, like, what impressed me is the Sharks barely missed a beat before I realized he was gone. Part of it is they had a big lead, but they definitely were able to keep momentum going. And this is, you know, like I said, it was a very good team effort tonight. I'm worried, like, oh, this is just what we need, another big player. I mean, if Burns goes down, that leaves what, Pavelski? Who are their other big time stars? Like, but they've managed to keep it going without a lot of guys, and hopefully, if he's out for any extended period, they can keep it going.
Yeah, no, I definitely think so, but. You know, it's a little concerning, though, and especially how how the injury bug is bitten the Sharks right now. And to be quite honest, they're kind of going well despite of that. You know, we kind of all said if Hurdle misses any kind of extended time, that the Sharks are going to be cooked. Well, I mean, this is a second game out tonight, and the Sharks didn't look bad. I mean, they didn't look like they missed a beat. That top line. But like I said before, I kind of wanted to touch on this. Timo Meier, boy, this game tonight was kind of like a coming out party for this kid, really showing why the Sharks drafted him so high. It was just a one-man wrecking ball out there. Rocket, what are your thoughts on Timo's game tonight?
You know, I don't think this is a surprise from Timo Meier. He's been steadily and just with every game, he's been getting better all season long. He makes smart decisions. He makes some really interesting, how do I say this? The kid's a really good chess player because he can see where the puck is going to be and where the puck will be after that. And then he figures out where he needs to be 6 steps away from where the puck is. And it's like he's got slightly future vision and he can see 30 seconds ahead of the rest of us. And I think it's a gift. I think he was a great pick. I know a lot of people are sour because they look at other prospects that we could have had instead of Timo Meier. But I think that I'm not disappointed in Timo. I think he's a good fit for San Jose.
Yeah, I think like DeBoer kind of had mentioned earlier in the season that, you know, power forwards take a little bit of time to mature. I mean, if we're thinking about prospects' time to mature in the NHL, it kind of goes number one, the longest that take is goaltenders. And goaltenders have that freak voodoo magic where, you know, you can be undrafted and be just a great superstar kind of goaltender. You look at Martin Jones, wouldn't put him in the superstar category, but I put him in the good to below elite level. And he was undrafted. And next in that progression is defenseman. Everybody knows that defensemen take quite a long time to percolate. But the next longest time to, for me at least, to develop are power forwards. Power forwards kind of have to craft their game in and around the net, kind of have to have, like Rocket was saying, that good vision to know where they need to go, and also need to have really great hands. And it takes a little bit of time. And then I would kind of put it centers, kind of take the next longest, and then I would put scoring wingers that are the quickest to normally mature in the NHL. But, Chris, I wanted to shuttle that question on to you. What do you think, you know, has been going right for Timo, and what have you seen his development since he was called up last year?
I think a lot of it to me, you know, in development has been his decision making. It's gotten better because when he first got here, he took a lot of shot attempts at the very least, but a lot of them were not so well informed. I think partially it's having the right winger or the right people work, you know, with him, right wingers, right centers. And because I know at times we put him on the lower lines and really put him with not much to work with, but giving him a chance to play with the big guys and really develop his game. Like you said, I think part of being a power forward too is kind of that decision making of when do I be the gritty guy? When do I kind of try to be a little bit more of a touch play? You know, because you're kind of, you have a whole range of things you're doing. And I think that's part of it is that experience and learning when to skate hard and take shots and that type of thing, when to kind of grind in the corner. And I think that's, it's definitely, he's come along. But can we touch on the guy in the Bodker skin suit? I'm not sure who it is.
And perfect segue. I mean, for another guy who's had a really good bounce back is Mikkel Boedker. Since January 1st, Mikkel Boedker has 8 goals. And I don't know who he sold his soul to really start buying this goal scoring bug that he's got. But boy, he could not have picked a better time to kind of come out of his shell and really show why Doug Wilson went after him.
And who are you talking about?
I'm talking about Mikkel Boedker.
I'm going to differ with you on this. I think he could have picked a better time, and that time was probably at the beginning of last year. That's all.
Or, yeah, some other time, but
I digress.
I see here in the chat, Sleepy Mofo saying he's hot bod and frigid bod, which is pretty, you know.
That's true.
What's that song? You're hot and you're cold, or you know, whatever that song is. I don't know.
Okay, Katy Perry
song.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't know these things.
Weren't you the one that lost a bet and had to sing Taylor Swift?
Yeah, no, hopefully I won't be the last person to have to lose a bet around here, AJ. What exactly were the – so we should get this on record in here. What were the parameters of his bet? Do either of you know?
Oh, they changed. They changed like 3 times.
Okay, do tell.
Oh, God, Jerk can't help me out, but I wish he could. It's something – because Jerk knows it. It's something like 20 games – or 20 points, 20 points, 20 goals. Not 20 goals, definitely not. But I think he's like 20 points, and I don't know what the bet was.
When AJ's planning on getting on here, so we'll have to make him put it on record here. So we will have to see what do you know what the bet was for? What the terms or what?
I'm pretty sure that if Boedker got like it was something like. First, it was 30 points, and then it was 25, and then it was 20, something like that.
Sleepy Mofo in the chat says it's 20 goals. It's
20 goals, okay. Yeah, it's not points, it's goals. I was wrong. That AJ would purchase a Mikkel Boedker sweater.
Jersey, yeah.
If he scores 25, which is not going to happen, you have to get a custom one that says Hot Bod on the back.
That's yeah. This is wrong.
Yeah.
At that point, you're kind of running up the score. But, yeah.
But look, I mean, right now, guys, 20 goals is not out of the realm of possibility for Mikkel Boedker, especially if he keeps this pace up. I mean, right now, he's got goals this for 20 points and 9 goals with, what are we at? Game 59? What is that? 23 games left, 22 games left. I don't know. AJ might be purchasing a new sweater here.
Maybe. You never know.
Oh, we can only hope, but apparently I'll be the only one to have to sing on air. I don't know. Yeah, if he gets 25, it has to be a hot bod jersey. And if it's 30, yeah, basically we have to get him to sing a song on air of some sort. But that's never gonna happen. Oh yeah, I like Sleepy Mofo. Should be the Cars for Kids song.
Yeah.
I like that.
Which, you know what? Why is it that's even down here? I thought I'd gotten away from that song, but apparently it's on radio here too. And I'm going to say this once and only once. Jake, would you knock it off with all your fucking alter egos in the chat? I can see right through that shit. Stop it. And that's all, I'm going to say on this. Like, I'm sorry. This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
well, you know.
Ooh, Clark 85 in the chat saying Leafs versus Sharks in the final.
Ooh, that would be fun. I'd love to see that. Love to see Patty versus the rest of the Sharks. But I mean, you know, just kind of going through it, the Sharks.
Oh, sorry, this is too good. You're the dog theme. Who let the bot out?
But I mean, I'm just looking through this, guys. And the Sharks have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 or more goal scorers, with two more that are almost at 10. So, I mean, almost 11 players with 10 goals. I mean, this is really, really nice scoring distribution when I'm looking in and out of the lineup. And you know what? I mean, the Sharks, for as much as they, you know, would love to have a Marlowe right at the second, it's, you know, it's nice to see that the team kind of come around and really chipped in for his offense, you know, his offense missing. I think, you know, right now, if we had Joe Thornton and kind of had a little bit more of everybody kind of healthy, this team would be really interesting to watch and dare I say it, dangerous. So, you know, I'm not too worried about Donskoy and Couture 8-0-1-2-3-4-5. I think that both of those two will come out of this. I think they're being pressed in on some really, really hard minutes. They played against the Sagan Light. They were matched up against the Sagan line and really playing that shutdown role. But boy, I tell you what, I was really impressed with Pavelski. And Rocket, what are you thinking about Pavelski and just kind of how he's come out of the funk?
Oh, Pavelski, he's a solid captain that we need. The problem with having a good captain the special privilege of being a good captain and being amazing at tipping the puck in. I mean, you could be on the blue line and tip the puck in and hey, there it goes. Is that everybody watches your tape, so they catch on. And I think that this year has been kind of a year where Joe Pavelski he's been amazing. He's been solid, but I think that not having Thornton around definitely has impacted his game, probably more so than not having Patty with him. And I don't mean this in a bad way. You know, I don't want to be like, the only reason that you know, Pavelski was any good is because Thornton made him look so good. He's dog shit. I'm not saying that at all. Not at all. But I think that it's just a little bit of an adjustment. I think it was they had enough time to make the adjustment for Marlowe's absence, but this having Jumbo kind of just snatched out of the lineup really kind of shook his game a little bit. But I think he's getting back. He could be fine. Everything's great.
And we're joined by Mr. AJ Strong. AJ, how are you doing? How was the game tonight?
Fantastic. That was a good amount. I don't want to say a huge amount, but there's a small circumference of people in my section that once they hit 5-0, that we're all kind of like saying, we want 10, you know, because they just wanted to pile it on. And we all remember what happened New Year's Eve with the same. And that was the thing, is that actually there was that group that wanted 10, But if anything, they really wanted Jones to get the shutout to kind of answer back for the New Year's Eve game. So other than that, I thought the Sharks, they looked ready to play from the get-go. And we looked up when it was like 3-0. We're like, wait a minute. The Sharks have had like 4 shots on goal and 3 of them went in? Wait, what? Like, I mean, it was just you couldn't ask for a better first period, to be honest. So absolutely hysterically fun game tonight. The promotion, or I shouldn't say the promotion, but the mystery puck night tonight, oh my God, was, you know, just to kind of like dive off to the side for a second, there was a guy, oh my God, he was so funny, literally just like threw his legs down in Indian squat with like 10 different pucks laying on the ground in front of him saying, you know, trades here, we got trades, I'm looking for trade, you know, I have a trade to announce if you'd like to trade a puck. Wow. And
the Lacey thing, we have a trade to announce.
That's what it was, dude. He was telling me, like, we saw him, and because I'm looking, I'm like, well, what do you got, you know? And I said, okay, you know, he's got a Hansen, he's got a Ryan, he's got a couple Carlsons here and there. And he was looking for some younger guys. He was looking for Ryan and Heed and Meyer and LeBanc. And he's out there just, you know, I want a trade to announce. Please make a trade with me. And, dude, he, like, flipped a Ryan to a LeBanc. And then he flipped a Carlson to a Hansen, which ended up getting him a Heed. Like, he was just out there just, you know, go, 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 go. But the one thing that I have to say about tonight, which was the coolest thing about the whole mystery puck evening, and I'll try to do this very quick. I drew a, for those of you who don't know, there were 3 pucks tonight. There was the Mount Rushmore puck, which featured 4 players, Burns, Couture, Thornton, and Pavelski. Then there was the In Jones We Trust, where literally it was that one puck. That was the only puck that Jones signed. He didn't sign any other ones. The Mount Rushmore puck, no other player signed except those 4. And then there was the 3rd puck where all the other guys signed. So I, at first, purchased 3 pucks. And I got a Jones. I got a Pavelski Rushmore puck. And then I got, I believe, Tierney. And there was a girl who came in with her family. And it was her, and this girl's like 12 years old, maybe. She's got like a 9-year-old sister, her parents. She's there with the Martin Jones jersey. She is clearly like the Martin Jones's biggest fan. And she drew a Burns Rushmore puck. And she's going, does anybody have a Jones puck or whatever? And I'm like, well, I got one. If I had a second one, I'd trade you. And they're just kind of hanging around. And you can see literally like hope draining from her face. And finally I said, and the buddy that I was with, I was wearing my little backpack out of my, and I looked at my buddy and I said, dude, grab me that damn Jones puck. And I handed off, he grabs me the Jones puck and I hand it over to her. I go, okay, I'll trade you for the Burns. And the look on her face was just like fireworks on somebody's face. She's just like, that is the most amazing thing ever. Thank you so much. And her folks are like really lit up. And then the coolest part is that this is why karma happens, because by the end of the night, between all the trades and the moves, look what happened. I ended up getting the foreplay of all of... I got the Mount Rushmore.
Nice.
I ended up with the Mount Rushmore. And you know who I have to say thank you to? Because I ended up trading her. I drew a Pavelski. I traded her for Burns. Somehow, I can't remember, I ended up getting Logan Couture. And our very own puck guy helped me finish off the quad with the Thornton. I traded him a hurdle for the Thornton. Aww. So, puck guy, you're awesome. Your mom is not as awesome as Landy's mom, but you're still awesome.
Yeah, well, we'd be remiss if I didn't say my mom did end up going to the game tonight. She was there with my little cousin, who is actually a really huge Sharks fan. I actually got her into the Sharks 3 seasons ago. And, you know, she just started going to the games and just really loved it. But anyhow, they made it out to the game tonight, and they met up with AJ and with Eric. you know.
I got to be honest, dude. Your mom, one of the coolest people I've ever met. Very cool. Like,
what the hell happened to you, man?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, I know. Nobody can explain it. Like, why is Landy that way?
Yeah, why is Landy, you know, why is Landy that way? Why is he a sourpuss? And how did he get so tall when his mom's like,
Dude, I sat behind your, like, okay, I don't want to say I sat behind you. I got to phrase this correctly. But I was behind, I was in the row behind your mom for three periods. Not once did she bitch about NBC not being able to get a doubleheader off on time. It was amazing.
Oh my God. He had
to- that almost like that. I would fit to figure that's like impulsive or genetic or something, but
you would think. Not. You would
nature
think.
Versus nurture, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to tell those quick stories. Again, game was fantastic. Guys came to play. It was beautiful. I drew a Dylan puck that Rocket could give two craps about. Well, other than that, I mean, they looked fantastic. The boys looked fantastic tonight. Burns back to defense, liked it, but great job tonight. And to me, great start. This is the way they need to roll through the Central Division for this upcoming road trip. So
they'll win a lot of games. They score 4-0 in the first period.
Yeah. So that's the way it is. So with that, Chris already left. He got tired of hearing me. So hold on. Awaits the text from Puck Mom going, what the fuck? AJ doesn't think I'm cool. Yes, that's right. No, Nanette, you are fantastic. But you know what? You called Drew a stud muffin and not me. And so that's the way you got bounced down a level. I'm just saying. So with that, my wife has handed me a shot of something. I'm not sure what it is. So I'm going to go do it. And you guys have a great time. And what's the next? St. Louis Tuesday.
Hold on a minute. You're going to get off here without talking about Bodker?
Really hoping I was going to be able to get out of here without being able to talk about Bodker. God damn it.
Like, sorry, I can't hear you click.
Oh, and I even drew a Bodker puck in the mystery puck.
We were saying that, you know, I think what is the bet? 20 goals, right? And then you have to buy a Bodker jersey.
No, you actually had a, what the hell was that? No, actually, can I have some more of that? No, I don't even know what the hell it was, but it was like a barley wine or something.
You're taking shots of barley wine now?
It's a Japanese plum wine that is fantastic. Yes, please. Yeah, it's fantastic. I'm not going to lie. When Bodker scored the first one, I was very much looking at my bro saying, oh, good for him. When he got the second one, I went, oh, crap, it is way too early for in this game. He's going to get a goddamn hat trick. You watch. And I will never hear the end of this from Hockey Jerk. But I don't know what the I don't know what the bet was, because Hockey Jerk kept, you know, moving the goalposts. One day it was 22 goals. The next day it was 20. The next day it was 27.5. I mean, go listen to any
Now it's 12, I believe. So you're get bone, the hell dude. Out
of, Rocket, back me up on this. He keeps moving the goalpost.
Twice they have been corrected.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
And that's also, it's been recorded earlier in this show that I said the parameters changed several times. So
this is all I'm saying. Dude keeps moving the goalpost. So, I mean, anyway. But again, just to say, fantastic game tonight. Who St. Louis, Nashville, Chicago, Minnesota. That's a hell of a central gauntlet to have to roll through. I mean, St. Louis, Nashville, Minnesota. Hello. Big games. Chicago, maybe not so much, but, you know, and the whole thing is I said earlier, and someone corrected me where I said, you know, I'm like, Chicago, while they're the bottom of the barrel, they still have a winning record. And they said, well, it depends on the way you look at it, because it's like, oh, okay, so they're, you know, 24-20-10, not exactly a winning record. Well, it kind of is if you take the 10 points they would have got from half of those and then the other ones and factored out the overtime losses, they would have a winning record. So Chicago, still a factor. So, and granted, if they get Niemi back, oh, forget it. You know.
no kidding. All right. Well, Thanks, AJ. Are you heading out?
I'm heading out, and you will see a, or I shouldn't say see, you will have a new Pucknologist tomorrow evening or early Tuesday morning to kind of finish off your three-day President's Weekend. Unfortunately, I have the feeling that Rocket may not join us tomorrow because work interferes.
Because work interferes. Sorry, gang.
So last week we had Hockey Punk fill in for Hockey Jerk. So
you're gonna have to have Rocket Forehander.
That might be what it is, like Rocker Forehander. We're gonna have to find Rocker Forehander to fill in, but that's what we'll have. So hold on. Uneven symmetry in the AJ room needs two kitties, one on each side. Really? Come on, Laurel. How Go much have I worked?
You need a cat bed on the other side there.
Put it over on the other side. Yeah, she's right.
How much have I worked for you, Laurel, to like line this up just right? And really, you're going to do me like that? Come on.
You know, Rocky would look great over in that corner.
Okay. Like, have two cats. There you go.
This is a whole discussion that Rocket and I need to take offline. I'm just with that, kids. Have a fantastic evening. Go Sharks. Fantastic win. See you later, guys.
Night. Well,
speaking of doing him dirty, I guess it's time for the NHL reach around.
You're supposed to say wrap around, then we're supposed to correct you in your sigh. Grand, I mean, you have to play the part of Eric right here. Where you're like reluctantly like, oh my gosh, you guys, you're ruining it the whole time.
Oh my goodness. Now it is time for the NHL wraparound.
Don't you mean a reach around, Eric?
Yeah.
Oh, guys. Get it? We can't have any fun on this show. Yada, yada, yada. What else would Curtis say right now? Swear jar, yada, yada, yada. No fun. But yes. Anyhow. Rounding out the scores. Actually, let's take a look at the Saturday scores, because Saturday also the Sharks had a day off, but it was kind of important in the standings race. So let's go over Saturday's games. The Kings beat the Sabres 4-2 and still keep their playoff lives and hopes and dreams alive. But they're reaching a little bit, and I don't know that they're kind of running out of runway here, especially with the Ducks kind of coming on strong, who beat the Wild 3-2. The Senators beat the Rangers. Nobody really cares. Coyotes beat the Oilers. Again, nobody really cares. Golden Knights continue to win. What's new? 6-3. The Devils beat the Lightning 4-3, which is kind of interesting, and the Lightning are starting to slip a little bit. Their once mighty command in the Atlantic is down to 3 points. Penguinos beat the Maple Leafs 5-3, and the Red Wings beat the Predators 3-1. I believe that's where Rocket was getting that Red Wings visions of Red Wings. And surprise, surprise.
Beat the Toronto.
Wait. The Predators. Red Wings beat the Predators. And
Okay. I thought you said the Penguins beat the Maple Leafs. I was like, wait, what?
Yes, the Penguins did beat the Maple Leafs yesterday.
Oh, yesterday. Okay.
Yeah, we're going over yesterday's scores.
Ah, okay.
Blackhawks finally wake up and they beat the pants off the Capitals 7-1. I just don't know about this Blackhawks team. They're very anemic right now.
They're asking in the chat why we're giving last night's scores. Well, on the show, we reach way, way around.
Well, the reason why I wanted to get to yesterday's scores were setting up tonight and the way that the standings kind of worked out, but let's finish this off. Bruins 6-1. And the game that I really wanted to highlight, the game that I was actually looking at last night, was the Panthers and the Flames. So the Panthers the Flames right now are kind of they're on my radar, at least for the Sharks, who they should be worried about for the Sharks losing their second position spot. And by losing last night, they give the Sharks a game in hand. And right now, Calgary sits at 68 points, setting up tonight's game, which was really, really important. It was actually nice to see the Sharks really had a big win. So with the Sharks win tonight, the Sharks get a little bit of a cushion now. They've got 3-point cushion on Anaheim, and they've got a game in hand on Anaheim. So if they win that game in hand, which, mind you, that's never a sure thing, but they could have a 5-point cushion in the second place. And they'd have... right now, they have a 4-point cushion on Calgary with the same number of games played. So, you know, these are just kind of the things that I'm looking at in this kind of stretch drive to the end. But, you know, kind of with that theme of reaching around, well, I guess we'll reach around to tonight's scores. The Flyers beat the Rangers 7-4. Oilers beat the Avalanche 4-2. Devils beat the Hurricanes 3-2. Penguins beat the Blue Jackets 5-2. The Maple Leafs beat the Red Wings 3-2. Of course, the Sharks beat the Stars 5-2. And the Jets smack the Panthers upside the head 7-2. And right now, Vegas, although has the point total lead for the Western Conference at 82, Winnipeg is just continuing to really, really thrive and really be very dangerous. I mean, besides Vegas with a 44-point differential, the Winnipeg Jets have the next most at 39. And really, they're the team, to me, that is to beat here out in the West. Vegas, you know, we don't know what they're going to be in the playoffs, but Winnipeg, you know, if they get some goaltending, which is, I think, where their Achilles heel still lies in the goaltending, but man, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult for the Central Division. You know, I think all those teams are going to slug it out against each other. And I mean, Rocket, you've probably seen more of them than we have being out in the Central. What have you seen from Winnipeg, and why are they so dominant right now?
The Peg are dominant because they are a fast, heavy team. I don't know how else to put it. Their game is... I really like the system that they're using because it's set up to where... They're hard and they're heavy. They're good. So I don't really know how else to say it. Like they're heavy, they're fast, they're good. And they can score.
And they're deep. We need to get every cliche in there.
Yeah.
They work hard. They finish their checks. They don't cheat too much. They move. They work hard in all three of the dirty zones. Et cetera, et cetera.
They play in all three zones. They give 110%. They play hard off the puck and on the puck, and they play well away from the puck, and they win the battles in the corners. They win those 50-50 pucks. Any other cliches we can throw in there for good measure?
They roll four lines, you know.
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Get in deep.
Oh, they get in the goalie's eyes. They get in the dirty areas. They get those greasy goals.
Tunkel.
Who's their goalie? Bobrovsky?
No, Hellebuck.
Hellebuck.
Yeah. You know, to me, they're the team right now, and we'll kind of roll down the standings, I guess, going over in the Eastern Conference. Pittsburgh now leads the Metro Division, which is a little interesting. You know, Washington had a command on that, but now in the Metro, it's Pittsburgh, Washington, Philadelphia. And Philadelphia, for having that horrible 10-game losing streak and then having a 10-game winning streak, like, this team is the epitome of bipolar. they've corrected the ship. You know,
they're from Philadelphia. They prefer the term dynamic.
Oh boy, like a switch? Is that what you're telling me? They're the top.
You might say she's incredibly moody. She's up and she's down. She's all over the place. But her dating profile says she's the dynamic, bubbly, vibrant young woman.
Chris, anything to add on the bipolar Philadelphia Flyers?
I'm gonna just let what Rocket said stand for itself. I'm not gonna
switching over to the Atlantic. Like I said before, that once mighty lead that Tampa Bay had is really, I mean, it's shrinking down to 3 points. And look who's there. Boston has 3 games in hand on the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they have 78 points. Boy, you know, they've quietly been one of the best teams in the NHL, and look out for Boston. That's going to be crazy. And Toronto will probably have to play Boston. I feel bad for Toronto, but Toronto's in third place in that division at 77 points with 61 games played. Your first wild card is New Jersey, who got bumped out of the top three in the Metro, but they still hold a pretty good sizable lead on the next wild card team, the New York Islanders at 64 points. So they've got a six-point lead on the Islanders. And you've got Carolina tied in points with the Islanders as well. And you've got Columbus at 63 points. The Rangers are still, they're hanging around, but I think we can safely say that they're not going to be making it. And I don't think they're going to make the cutoff. So really it's down to Columbus and Carolina for that last wild card spot. Maybe if somebody, you know, I don't see any of them making a run for the division. So I think it's going to have to go through the wild card. And right now I think 6 points is a lot to make up for Carolina. So it's really three teams for one spot. So it's kind of the playoff race is kind of interesting over out in the East. In the West, in the Central, like I said before, Winnipeg leads the division 79 points. Nashville has got 77 points with two games in hand on Winnipeg. Nashville is really bouncing back, and you know they're looking like they're poised for another run. We've been hearing the Nash rumors out to Nashville. Nash and Nashville, I don't know what this world is coming to, but you know, make them interesting and then make them that much deeper. And I don't know if they got any better. I think Rocket might have to slice somebody up, right, Rocket?
Yes. I will
cut you. Dallas creeps back into the Central, into the third position at 72 points, bumping out St. Louis. Pacific Division, of course, the Golden Knights lead 82 points. They have the largest size lead on their division from any team in the NHL right now. San Jose holding up a firm second place right now with 72 points. 69 points for Anaheim. Yes, make your ducks and 69 jokes now. Enjoy while you have it. Wild card, 72 points for St. Louis, who were firmly entrenched in third position but got pushed out by Dallas. And Minnesota with 69 points as well. There you go. You can have your Minnesota Wild and 69.
Oh!
Like I said before, Calgary, 68 points. Los Angeles, 67 points. And Colorado has 66 points. And you know what? It was a good run for Colorado, but I'm going to call them out. And really, I'm thinking it's going to be Los Angeles, Calgary, and Anaheim really fighting for either one of two spots. The last wild card spot, which is definitely either one of those teams could get into it. I think they're in striking distance. And for third spot in the division, I'm going to go out on a limb here, I'm going to say that I think the Sharks can play 500 hockey from here on out, and I think that they can hold a relatively good lead in the second place. And I'm going to say that they're not going to move out. Where do you guys think the Sharks going to end up? And I mean, how have you guys seen them grow in the absence of a lot of players?
I think for this stretch with the Central is really going to be the make or break moment. If they can keep staying afloat while they're waiting for reinforcements to come off the injured reserve, because this is going to be the tough stretch right now over the next five or so games where they're going to go through the gauntlet on the road. They can survive that. I think they can stay afloat long enough to get that. I don't know if I buy that they could stay afloat all the way into April and in the playoffs, but who knows? But I think it's been a lot of guys stepping up. Pavelski's done more. Bodker's done more. Meyer's done more. A big Tierney fan. He's done more. Not all of it's been good. There's been some ugly turnovers, but as a whole, a lot of guys have stepped up and helped fill that void collectively. It's not been any one guy doing it. So I think they have an opportunity to stay in the race, and that's really their opportunity. Stay in the race. They could win in the first round, because if they're number two or number three, they could beat another Pacific Division team. They're probably not going to catch Vegas, so nothing wrong with winning a soft first round game. That, you know, make sure the franchise makes its money, make sure, you know, we have plenty of salary cap space for next year. Maybe things do continue to improve. So
yeah, Rocket, I know that you wanted to add something on this too. How have you seen them grow? How do you think that the team has just kind of really been resilient in the fact of major adversity?
Okay. So I think that this team, having lost some key players that they did throughout the season, both expectedly and unexpectedly, has shaped this team in a number of ways. But I think that some of them have been very surprising in that when you take some of the slower bodies off the ice, the faster ones prevail. And so I think that as this team aged and everybody was hemming and hawing and getting nervous about, old sharks, slow sharks. Ian in the chat kind of pointed out earlier that those sharks are old and they are injured and not playing. So this has actually been a faster team. And I think that, you know, if they've been a faster team, they've had a little bit of difficulty trying to find the scoring touch. They're getting back into it. They're going to be fine. As long as they go on like this, they make a couple of real good picks in the draft and Doug doesn't do anything real stupid, I think we'll be okay.
And we've seen the growing pains in, you know, there was a good month there where there was a lot of defensive struggles related directly to forwards not back checking well enough or not covering their guys well enough. And that's probably, you know, it's been faster. That's been the growing pain, though, on the other side of they've been faster, but they've also made a lot more mistakes. Hopefully they can continue cleaning that up because it hasn't been definitely has not been as bad the last several games. Like there hasn't been nearly as many missed assignments or anything like that. So if they can play faster and make less mistakes, they can definitely stay afloat.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said before, it's kind of interesting, you know, Mikael Boedker kind of picking it up here. Milko Carlson, you know, is he's on track and on pace to break his career goal scoring. His career goal scoring is at 13 goals. He's got 8 goals right now. I wouldn't be surprised to see him break that. You know, just seeing some really nice growth. I mean, Jonas Donskoy, I think, having a bounce back season. I'd like to see a little bit more from him. Right now, I think if we could get him at 15 to 20 goals, I'd be really happy with his output. Timo Meier making some really, really great strides. Kevin LeBanc, I mean, he's got 30 plus points already. He's 31 points in 54 games. He's turning out to be a really, really great player. And honestly, I mean, I don't think that his passing gets enough attention. He's a solid creative player, and I really like him. You know, as a playmaking, you know, you don't really see it a lot, but a playmaking winger. And, you know, if he can dine out on that and continue that, he'll set up guys like Hurdle and set up guys like Chris Tierney and Logan. I mean, you know, you can have a far worse living than that, you know. Hurdle having a really great bounce back season as well, 33 points, playing a lot of tough minutes, and just seeing him thrive is really good. And then Logan, who's been really solid the whole year.
Logan's probably been their steadiest player period, like overall, the guy who hasn't had it. I mean, I can't think of any bad games he's had. I can think of several great games he's had, but he's been good game in and game out, and he's kind of been their rock as a guy who can play, you know, he can play in all three zones, you know, cliche.
The reason why I think is because he's less human than anyone else on the team. He's got more like titanium and pins just in his general face area that just makes him a little bit more bionic.
Like, you're going to go the other way, like he's more teeth than man.
Yeah. Well, but they're false teeth, so they're not even bone. They're metal, which makes him bionic. Yeah.
And of course he's got bionic ankle.
That's right. I forgot about how could I forget about that?
Yeah.
Also, not an individual player, but the power play and the penalty kill have bounced back in a big way for them this year. Like, you know,
yeah, having the number one PK and the fourth rated power play, that's pretty insane. I mean, yeah. The Sharks are kind of putting together a nice, quiet little season, you know, and going into the playoffs. I mean, I'm not having high hopes for any kind of run or anything like that. But, you know, they could probably sneak up on some teams with just how good that this team has been, how balanced the scoring is, how good they are defensively. And you know, there aren't, you know, the one weakness is if they get into a track meet, they can't really score their way out of problems. And I think that's the biggest issue that this team has, is they don't have the firepower unless you're getting superstar performances by a Mikael Boedker and, you know, a Milko Carlson and a Timo Meier. If you get those three guys playing the way that they're playing right now, wow, this team has got a lot more going for it than we would have given credit. And I don't even think that Doug Wilson would have foreseen this. So,
yeah, you know, I've certainly been pessimistic about their outlook, and I still am to some extent, but I think you're seeing a lot more from guys. And like I said, about the special teams also, you know, you can look at the rankings, but also if you add the two together, so if you add the penalty kill plus power play percentages, you know, you get somewhere between 90 and 110. The Sharks have been consistently in the top three of the two combined all year. So they've consistently been a top three special teams team. Like them and Pittsburgh are the only two that have really been consistently at the top. So, you know, it's not everything, but it is something they can hang their hat on. They have been surprisingly solid in special teams after last year they had on the power play, where it was like, it's going to bounce back, going to bounce back, going to bounce back. And it never did. It never really picked up. But this year, the power play has been pretty good. It's not been perfect, but it's gotten the job done more than enough.
Yeah. Rob Iman with a couple of really, really good, and interesting kind of comments. Is it time for DW to pick up Peter DeBoer's option for next year? And can Bolsters or Haluka crack the roster next season, or possibly Rod? Nor Road is kind of interesting because he's got a European clause. Me and Ian were talking about that a little bit off air. He has a European clause in his contract. So, yes, he is signed to an entry-level deal to the Sharks. He's got a three-year deal. He is Sharks property. But he also has a particular wrinkle in his contract that allows him to play in Switzerland and allows him to kind of – I don't know if he moves back to the NHL, he can't go back. I don't know exactly how it is, but I have this feeling that if he comes back to North America, he kind of burns his bridge.
I believe Ian had said it was a one-way thing. It's like once you break it, it's done.
It's done. Right, exactly. So that's where I'm at with Noah Rode. So if he's coming over, he's coming over for good. So it wouldn't surprise me if that was like if the Sharks felt like they had something for a playoff run, maybe you add somebody like him.
I would rather not, honestly. I'd rather let him cook, let him marinate. Let's not pull him out any early, unless, you know, I don't know enough about what he's doing right now to say that he's not ready, but unless we're sure he's ready, I'd rather not, because no need to mortgage the future for a second round exit, in my opinion.
Right. Haluka isn't ready from what Kevin Lacy's saying, and Kevin's a pretty, you know, he's got a pretty good gauge on what the Barracuda are doing. And Bolsters, well, has been really, really good this year. You know, he's been really consistent, probably the most consistent forward for Roy Sommer. But, you know, I'm with Kevin on here. He needs to show at least 15 more games. Well, he's saying Bolsters needs to continue how he's played the last 15 games. Agreed. You know, he needs to show a little bit more consistency. If he can end the year as strong as he's been throughout the entire year, he's got, I think, the best chance for an opening day roster spot for next year. And quite honestly, he's probably got a good chance for a playoff call up as well. I like his game. The only thing that we can say that he's a little undersized, but you know, the Sharks have been integrating these undersized players a little bit better. I mean, you look at Kevin LeBanc, he's pretty undersized. So, I mean, the Sharks, while not having a lot of talent at the Barracuda, they do have a little bit. They do have some. So it's interesting, but I don't think that there's anything ready to come up right now. And I think that's kind of the last point I want to end on is, guys, if we have any more injuries, I mean, Doug Wilson's got to make a move for something, right? I mean, just for the sheer fact of bodies?
Maybe for bodies, but I would, you know, I've said for a while, like, he doesn't need to make the best thing he can do is kind of stand pat right now, because it's not worth mortgaging the future. But if he's able to make a move to get more bodies to make sure the team can just stay afloat and not have to sacrifice assets by like pulling them into the NHL ahead of time, sure. But I would, you know, like the move should either be very small, or, you know, if he managed to pull a blockbuster trade, more power to him. Because, I mean, it seems like with most blockbusters, he's done pretty well on his blockbuster trades for the most part. I mean, Burns, Thornton, he's made some big ones over the years. So who knows? But I would say keep the organization afloat. And I would say the best move he can make is no move.
Rocket, what are your thoughts on just the upcoming trade deadline, the body count, and Ian bringing up a great point, the waiver wire as well? What do you look for the Sharks to kind of bring on, and what do you think is going to happen?
I think the injuries are going to continue and they're not going to get better. I don't foresee this being a real strong postseason, a real strong playoff season for the Sharks. Just not even because of they're playing poorly or anything, but because they're already beat to shit. They're physically, I mean, these are human beings and they are super, super beat up. Elite athlete on all sorts of fancy medication and all sorts of devices and trainings, and they're still beat to shit. So, yeah. I mean, I can't rightfully say, like, Doug needs to spend all of the money and go get, like, three guys who are just going to make this team amazing, and they're going to limp through this, and then what? We're going to have to deal with that mess for the next three seasons after that. Chris is absolutely right. It's not worth banking the future on it. So if Doug can make a minor move just to kind of keep the game where it is, just to get it through the rest of this year, that's cool. We'll figure it out next year.
If a good move is there, even if, like, you know, there is a big, you know, a medium-sized move that looks like it could get you a player for the next several, you know, foreseeable future, not another Hansen, hopefully, or whatever. But, you know, if the right move is on the table, make it. But you don't have to, don't, you know, it's much easier to make a move when you don't have to make a move, right? That's, you know, it's the thing I said about, like, job hunting. It's much easier to hunt for a job when you have a job you're perfectly good with and you don't need to move. You don't need to do that. You can kind of decide, I do want to do this or I don't. You don't have, you know, you're not, your hand's not being forced. So that's why I think he needs to take that approach of, my hand's not being forced. I don't have to do this. If the right move is there, if the opportunity presents itself, jump at it. But otherwise, I think he should feel comfortable not doing anything and kind of standing pat on this one.
Yeah. So quickly, kind of going over it from what we've heard, Braun doesn't think that Burns will be out. You know, so that's kind of good to hear. Did not hear about DeMello. And DeMello is a little easier to replace. I think you could put Heed back in. And I wouldn't think you would have missed a beat. I don't know that you really need to bring up Paul Martin. I heard kind of a little interesting little tidbit that Boston might be interested in bringing Paul Martin aboard. Now, there was some rumbling.
Obviously, they haven't watched him with the CUDA much then.
Well, apparently they expressed interest in the waiver wire, I guess, demotion transaction that Paul Martin had to go through. And they expressed some interest in trying to make a deal. And apparently, Matt Beleski's name kind of came up. And that was a little interesting because Matt Beleski was a guy that had a really, really good season in Anaheim before coming out to Boston and just really not doing so well. So, you know, would a one-for-one swap, if you would take Paul Martin and maybe kept a little bit of his salary and you got Matt Beleski out of that? I mean, that's interesting.
Honestly, I would be fine if we could get rid of, you know, if we took the maximum amount of salary we're allowed to retain, which I think, I forget what Ian said, it was like one quarter or something. I'd anything to get that contract off the books. Not that it's a horrible contract, but get it off the books. That'd be good. And if we get anything in return, great. If we don't, that's fine too. Comment in the chat, Skylar Greenberg says, according to Gackle, Braun has said Burns will play next game. So hopefully that means it was just a minor scare and we are not down another guy.
Yeah, and Kevin Lacey also agreeing with me. Yeah, it was a salary for salary kind of deal, and that was that's the way we're gonna get Matt Beleski. And Matt Beleski's deal is not great. So, you know, that's something, I guess. And you know, it's you trade your problem for taking our problem. Be kind of interesting. Matt Beleski's definitely younger. So, you know, I might be interested in that. But quickly, I mean, for everybody that was interested in subscribing, please take a minute to subscribe. The red subscribe button's down there. We're at 630-some-odd subscribers so far. And when you hit that subscribe button, you'll get an instant notification as when we're going live. Of course, you always know that it's after most Sharks games. But
Not most.
All
Sharks games.
Yeah, we're consecutive list is kind of
we're at like 254 or something now.
Yeah, kind of outstanding.
254.
So anyhow, for everybody here, and you know, I think we're gonna start wrapping it up now. I mean, Chris, where can the people find you and kind of get a hold of you?
If you'd like to see my terrible tweets, I am on Twitter at ChrisJWS. Tweet at me. I will generally follow back if you're tweeting at me. I don't always. Yeah, I try to. I'm terrible at managing my Twitter. But yeah, you can find me there. Final thoughts are an interesting season, even if it is not what we expected.
Quickly, AJ, where can the people find you at? What are you doing these days?
Same days as all the other days. Pucknologists. That's all that happens. That's all I know. I can't find anybody else that wants to talk to me except for Rocket and Hockey Jerk, so that's what I do.
No, I just talk to myself. The only way I can really get intelligent conversation.
That, right, yeah, that, and as you can see, I just grabbed the pussy. I have it here all the time.
You don't even wait?
Kayla, yeah, no, I don't wait for it. Kayla just comes right to me, and she's like, yeah, grab me. So Kayla, she's all that. So, yeah, new Pucknologist tomorrow. Yes, sir. I might even go after dark tonight because it was just a really fun night tonight, and I think people might want to hear a little bit more about it.
All right, and we have the lovely and talented Rocket Backhander who had been for us. You know, when you want to beat on the bishop, you go to Rocket Backhander. Rocket, where can the people find you?
First of all, I'd like to say a few things. Thanks, Chris, for writing that intro. It was great. I have, like I said, I have all the time to stand that script. The second thing, I think it was Rob in the chat saying that the Sharks should try to sign Jerome Iginla to a PTO. I am all for that.
Hockey Jerk would love that more than...
Yeah. Oh, my God. Dad!
I know. That's why I'm all for it. So, having said that, if you'd like to hear more of my ridiculous hockey thoughts and other things that are dealing with hockey here in Nashville, because I live in Nashville, you can find me on the Twitter machine at rbackhander76, capital R, little @hander76. Then you can check me out on Instagram, taking photographs of stuff that isn't cats here in Nashville. Rocket Backhander, one word.
There was one thing to get Hockey Jerk off of talking about Bodker, it would be Iginla.
I will have you. You know what? Jerk what and I can record 30-minute conversations about Iginla and just post them. You guys have no idea how much we talk about that guy.
Well, if everybody wants to continue hearing more about Jerome Iginla and all the other musings that the pucknologists have, and actually, quite frankly, any of the other Teal Town USA properties, check us out everywhere on TealTownUSA.com. We've got great content. Like I said before, pucknologists are dropping tomorrow. You can find all of your favorite personalities there. You can also find us on your favorite podcatcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, and of course on the YouTube chat. We just want to say thank you to everybody who always stops by and always chimes in. This is a lot of fun for us, and you guys make it, and gals make it the show that it is. So I am at Eric Landy on Twitter. You can use my first name and my last name and pretty much find me on all that social media garbage, or Teal Town USA. And everybody here, we will see you after the Blues game.